want to do is get ourselves underway with the topic at hand here. And what we're going over, we've been going over the Romans chapter 8 doctrine. And in going over that, we're to a point, a pivotal point right now in your sanctification. It's at the pivotal point where God wants to deal with you, not as an heir, just an heir, justified into the body of Christ, and one being sanctified to bring forth fruit, but he wants to deal with you now as a son. And this is what you're going to see here. And this is what Paul is making plainly to you here, that he's beseeching ones that want to cry, Abba, Father. Ones that see the adoption being given by the Father. Ones seeing that he's giving you the how. He's showing you how you can be led by the Spirit of God and what that means. And what I want to talk about is what it means and what it doesn't mean. Because we know today many denominations and other religions would tell you how you can be led of the Spirit or by a Spirit. But this is, we want to talk about what God's Word says about being led by the Spirit and about being a son of God and what that entails in being a son of God, where God deals with you as father and son. Whereas you can work together with him in his business. You can think like he does in his business. You can do things his way the same way he would, as if he was here himself in your decision-making or in any matters that come up in your life or any matters that comes up in someone else's life. Whereas you can be that consolation. And this is what it's all about. But as this world teaches it, this world would teach, as seen today on the news, there was a crash site. Someone got killed, and they said someone took a photo of a spirit leaving the person's body, and it's going all over the internet. And you know, things like that comes from people that are ignorant to what God's word means, and they assume that can be possible, that you can see a spirit leave the body. They don't even know if that person was justified or not. But they see this, they took a picture of, they say a spirit was ascending upward. And this is what people feel religion, this is what people feel the will of God is all about. They feel this is how God deals with the man. And that's what it means when it says the spirit and things of that nature. And we know we all have a spirit, whether you're justified or unjustified, and that spirit's going to go, that soul is going to go one place or the other. But let's get ourselves on the way here. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. I don't want to get off into a little commercial right there, but turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Let's take a look at, let's come to verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now again, even amongst grace circles, this terminology here about being led by the Spirit of God, and they are the sons of God, and the spirit of adoption is not well known like it ought to be. It ought to be something that is talked about as being where it's as father, as son, as father, the father is teaching the son in a way where only the son can be edified in this manner. Because the idea here is that God's not just giving us his doctrine and saying, go at it, just learn it. He's put it in a way where we can fully understand it, where we can go from milk to meat. Now you notice when you're dealing with the Romans, Romans gives you that foundational doctrine. Then after that, you have 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and Galatians. Now, even though there's three epistles there, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and Galatians, there's only two churches. There's the Corinthian church and the Galatian church. And you see how we're going to look at today is we're going to look at how those two churches there did not cry Abba Father like they ought to at, how they were not being led by the Spirit of God, and how if you're not being led by the Spirit of God like you ought to be as a justified saint, you're going to end up being either the Corinthian saint or a Galatian saint. And that's nothing to brag about, in a sense, or boast of, like the Corinthians were. Paul had to keep giving them reproof and correction that your glorying is not good. You're dealing with vain glory. You know? And we're going to look at that a little later on. But if you will, can you turn your Bibles to Galatians? Galatians chapter 4. We're looking at Galatians chapter 4. Go to verse 1. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to see how the Galatians were responding. But before we do that, we're going to take a look at the issue of the Son issue and how we are beseeched to receive that spirit of adoption, how we are beseeched to grow up, so to speak, and not be entangled with the affairs of this life, and not to be led by this life, and conforming our minds and transforming our minds, to God's word, and not be conformed to this world. So let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage until the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now I'm going to stop there. And what I want to do is comment on this because, again, it's a misunderstanding about the idea of being the heir of God. Now, we are heirs. Once you become justified, you are an heir. But you're going to notice what Paul's going to say here, it's a little more than that. God didn't just justify you so you can go to heaven. And I'm going to read verse 5 again. Let's go to verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them. Now, if I stop there, then that might be the case. But notice what this says here, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. See, that's the goal and objective right there. God acting as the Redeemer, he came to redeem those which are the justified people, which we are. but there's an objective. When you see that colon, and then it says that we might receive the adoption of sons. And see, that right there is the objective that God had in justifying us, that we can bring forth fruit unto him, that we can be an extension of his holiness as sons, and whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. And we're going to see what it means to be a son. And we're going to look at these things in the next, the upcoming weeks. We're going to look upon these things. Now let's go to verse 6 here. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no God. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Now you see the behavior of these saints here. These saints weren't acting like servants. They weren't acting like a son, but they were acting like servants. They were acting like children. They were going after something that Paul says, hey man, how can you be so foolish? Have you not begun in the Spirit? In other words, you've begun by the Word of God. And let's go over, turn back to Galatians chapter 3, and let's just look at that. Galatians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 1. O foolish Galatians. Now notice he doesn't say, O wise men, or O foolish Galatians. And that's a way to start off a chapter there. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only what I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If be yet in vain, he therefore that minister to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And you see what he says here. He's saying they begun in the Spirit. He says, are you now made perfect by the flesh? The works of the law are mentioned here. See, because these guys were brought up in the Word of God. They were doing things according to the way Word of God says. They were to the point where Paul looked upon them as being ready to cry, Abba, Father. And that's what he thought. He thought they were ready to get their education underway in the proper way, which is by the Spirit. But again, he calls them foolish twice. He says that over in verse 1, and then he says it in verse 3. And this is because they were acting as fools, that they seen the truth. As like he says here about ye shall obey the truth. And they went out and they started turning to fables. But let's go to verse 6 here. Come back to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 6. And we're going to look at these verses here more in depth next week when we look at the whole issue of the Son and how Jesus Christ himself is the perfect example of how what a son can do. He showed how a son can respond, and how a son can can be all that the Father calls him to be, where he can say, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to be like one as like David, for instance. David was a man after God's own heart. And we know that. We see that in scriptures. And there's another verses we're going to look at next week. And you notice, David was a son after God's own heart. And what that means is he wants to know the loves of God. He wants to know all that God values and esteems. He wants to please God. He wants to not only just please God as a servant, but he wants to be like father, like son. He wants to clean his heart out with the things he loved and replace it with God's loves and what he values and esteems. Whereas, again, it would be like father, like son. And also, he wants to also have that heart where he can also hate the same way God hates, whereas he can abhor the same thing God abhors, where he can look at the things of this world that he used to love and then prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, where he can say, well, God looks upon this as a waste of time, and he abhors this, and so should I. That changing of that heart, where his inward parts is being affected now. And also, we can take a look at Solomon. We can take a look out at Solomon. Solomon, he was a man after God's wisdom. So now you see father, who's a man after God's own heart, and a son who's a man after the wisdom of God. And that's how God works with us. The blueprint and the blackboard and the education is being taught with our hearts and our minds. And you notice in Romans 8 when Paul talks about the carnal mind and the spiritual mind, and then in 2 Corinthians, about that fleshly tables of the hearts and things like that, because that's where the classroom is being done at with us, in the mind and in the heart. And we see a perfect example with David and Solomon. And I know that this is our dispensation of grace, of Gentile grace that we live in, is a separate and distinct program. And what Paul, the gospel that was revealed to Paul, is a distinct and separate gospel that was delivered onto the 12. And God kept secret this gospel onto Paul to give to us to reconcile the heavenly places. But there is a parallel when you see it's the educating from the Father to the Son. And we don't take the things that we see over in Samuel and Psalms and apply it to our lives. But we're looking at the way that a father educated his son. And we see the parallel to how we ourselves are being educated by Paul, how Paul says over and over, follow me as I follow Christ. How Paul would say that where we teach every man in every church, that we may present every man perfect, whom we warn and things like that. What he's saying is, and over and over, he says, there's many, many verses where he says about him being an example, where you have us as an example. And what he's doing is, he's explaining to you that, like he says, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but not many fathers. And there's a reason for that, because Paul as a father, and Timothy also as a father, and so on, they were teaching other faithful men to go out and teach other faithful men and teach others so they can teach others. And he was teaching fathers to establish a faithful people so they can, sons and daughters, so they can go out and do the same. And that's what this is about. That's what you see going on here. And when you get to this point here in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, when he says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore ye are no more servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And he's explaining who they are. He's, don't you know who you are? Don't you know who you've been called to be? But now, verse 9, but now, after that, ye have known God, or rather are known of God. How turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, or until ye desire again to be in bondage? And when he says that they've known God, well, we know that because of the Spirit, the Bible, the Scripture is how they have known God, and through Paul's preaching. And he says, or rather are known of God, and they are. Known of God in the sense of that father-son relationship. And what we're looking at here, what you see is, see, this world has many different types of alternatives for your living the sanctified life unto God. And all you have to do is go in any bookstore, and you can see that they have self-help books, how to live the Christian life. They have bestseller books or about the key to the Christian living. But see, all these things center around self-centered ways of achieving the goals that have you make yourself feel good or feel godly. But it's all in a self-centered way. See, we're not taught that way by the Father. We're taught that our love ought to be based upon a selflessness, meaning we're to value and esteem others more than ourselves. We're supposed to know and understand that we're living in the bondage of corruption time. We're living in the sufferings of this present time. And that the world is not so peachy keen and hunky-dory as most might make it seem. And see, this world's definition for godliness, it centers around how you feel, or it centers around your appearance, or centers around what you have, or centers around how well your life might seem to be going right now, or whether you have a great family or great job. But see, these and many of these things, it attracts the normal person. The natural man and woman is attracted to these things. If they see that the pastor has all these things or more, they're attracted to that. They want to be a part of that. They want that. They desire to be again into bondage under the weak and beggarly elements. And what Paul means by that when he says these things about the turn again, you desire months and times and years and things like that. That's the things that we see about all the days, the observance of days, the Sabbaths and things of that nature, and many other things that we're going to get into next week. But this is what attracts the natural man, these alternatives that this world can give you. Now let's come over to Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians, we're going to look at chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to get verse 11. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is opened unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for recompense in this thing, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Or what communion hath light with darkness? Or what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. And I will walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you should be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now you see what's going on here. In verse 11, he says, our mouth is opened unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Paul is saying that based out of godly love, he's saying that he's trying to give them some doctrine. He's trying to give them some neat doctrine so they themselves can operate the way God would have them operate, that they would operate as sons and daughters, that they would not be as children, like Paul says here. He says, you're not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. And you see what he says here about these Corinthians, they were not wanting to cry out a father. They were too busy concerned with reigning as kings, being ones that did not want to get into the fight. They didn't want the world to look down upon them as being fools for Christ's sake. They didn't want to sign up to join the fight of the Father as Paul was, and being as the offspring of the earth, as we've seen earlier. And that's when he says, be unequally yoked. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. See, that's what they are. They would be unequally yoked because they are the justified, and the other ones, of course, aren't out there in this world. And they would be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, as he says here, that's what they are. So, and he said, you don't have fellowship with this. And he gives an example of there's no comparison. And when you have a son of God and a daughter of God versus the sons and daughters of this world and of Satan. And he says, verse 16, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And see, that's where God dwells today. God dwells in our hearts, within us. And you know, many people we see when they go in their churches, they talk about the sanctuary. And they say that that's where God dwells at, in that building. Well, that's not the case. It's not what Paul says. He says, we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, how God dwells in us is when we allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit. When we take that word of God and we be sealed with the Spirit, that's letting the word of God dwell richly within you, as we see the parallel in Ephesians and Colossians. Ephesians 5 and Colossians 4 there, when it talks about being led by, being led, filled with the Spirit, and allowing the word of God dwell richly within you. It's the same thing. And he says, and I'll be the God that should be our people. Wherefore, in view of what I just said in verse 16, wherefore come out from among them and be separate. Now, he's not saying be separate as individuals, because we are members of one body. He's saying separate yourselves from those guys. And he says, and I will receive you. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He's not talking about the idol worshiping type thing, even though that was going on there. But he's talking about as a son and a daughter, I will be a father unto you. Meaning he'll be able to teach them as the father. But again, you notice what's going on here with the Galatians and the Corinthians and what they have in common. And what they have in common is they are not being educated by their father like he wants them to be. And the main reason of that, there's two main reasons why. And you've got to understand that either you're going to be a Corinthian, if you don't follow this design like God would have you to, being led by the Spirit, you're going to either follow this world as a Corinthian, or you're going to follow this world as a Galatian. And when you follow this world as a Galatian, you're following this world as what the Proverbs talk about. You're following it as the strange woman. You're following after the strange woman. When you're following this world as a Corinthian, you're following this world in the way of the evil man. We're going to take a look at that. Matter of fact, come back to Proverbs chapter 4. And again, I'm going to say this again, like I said at the outset, that this is not our marching orders here. But what this is, when you look at the Proverbs is the interdispensational book that explains to you the ways of the man. Explains to you the ways of the man. Explains to you the thinking, the ways, the man's heart, the man's mind, and things of that nature. Now let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 4, and let's look at verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. When thou doest, embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my fame, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right path. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her. She is thy life. Enter not in the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of the evil men. Okay. Now, we're going to look at that terminology there, that go not into the way of the evil men. And you see God is using the terminology here through what's being said here is that wisdom, his wisdom is looked upon as she or her when he speaks of it. And he's saying, get that, get understanding, get wisdom and get understanding. Forget it not. Love her, she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, and the reason is what you see in verse 13. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her. She is thy life. Now, that life is that sanctified life. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. And see, evil men is the ways of this world. The evil men are the ways of this world. And that's what the Corinthians were going after. They were going after this world's evil ways. They might have not thought they were evil. They might have thought they were doing something really godly. But they were going after the ways of the evil men. And that's what you see. You're going to see one or the other. And when you're looking at this also, when I said earlier about you had David going after God's own heart, he wanted to not just love the things, but to embrace them, to embrace the same things that God loves and embraces. He wanted to be a part of that. He wants to value and esteem what God values and esteems. He wants to abhor what God abhors. Solomon, he wanted the wisdom of God. He wanted the thinking. He wanted to think like God thinks. But when you look at Satan, I'm going to turn this around. Satan himself became corrupted in his wisdom, in his thinking. Satan's way of thinking, he now has men thinking like he does. after his corrupted thinking, when he introduced the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when he had Adam and Eve sin, he taught them his way of thinking about this world and what this world's ways were. Again, there was nothing wrong with killing. There was nothing wrong with procreating. God was going to teach Adam and Eve all about those things. But Satan put his own twist on it. He explained, he showed how not just how killing can be used as murder. Killing, God's way, is bringing forth a sacrifice or bringing forth killing to eat. And as far as procreating, that's in the sight of God. That's a good thing to bring forth children into the world. But Satan's way of thinking is fornication, adultery, homosexuality, things like that. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 5 here. Proverbs chapter 5, and let's look at verse 1. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom. Notice, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. And you notice that's two different things. Wisdom and understanding are two different things there. You can have wisdom, but not understanding. And that's what we've seen in chapter 4, when he said, get wisdom and get understanding. Verse 2. That thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold onto hell. And again, you notice it's she and a her, but he says my wisdom. And he talks about another she or another her. The strange woman is the she and her, that wisdom of this world. And the wisdom of this world is where you see the Galatians getting caught up in. They were getting caught up in an alternative wisdom, an alternative way of being godly. And you see, we know that because of the Judaizers coming down there, trying to get them back under the law. And how Paul said, have you begun in the spirit? Now you're made perfect by the law. Now you want to observe days and times and months. You're going after different wisdom. You're seeing yourself as being wise. And see, this world will also, just as this world gives you those alternatives, this world also gives you its ways for justification. They give you This world gives you its ways for sanctification. This world gives you its ways of exaltation. With the justification thing, this world will tell you you're not justified unless you speak in tongues and show evidence of the Holy Ghost, and or you must be baptized to be saved, or you got to endure to the end to be saved, walking door to door, things of that nature. This world gives you a sanctification and tell you that you have to dress this way or act this way or you're godly if you have more than someone else has. This world will tell you their way of exaltation is not the way God would have you to understand exaltation. Their way of exaltation is exalting themselves over others, exalting the pastor over others. That's their way of exaltation. That's their way we know when our way of exaltation, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 about how we are raised up together and has made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But these people feel that they've arrived when they have achieved this, or when a person is called the mother in the church, or or a guy is made to be a deacon or something like that. And all this does is exalt that person. And I want to take a look at that exaltation of self that some do. Let's take a look at that. Let's come over to Isaiah. Come over to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, and we're going to take a look at how about the exaltation of man and where it comes from. Isaiah chapter 14, let's look at verse 12, and we'll see exactly where that type of thinking comes from. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Now you notice how it's all about him. There are five I wills. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. And it's all about him. I will, I will. You notice his exaltation also? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And, you know, again, looking at this here, that's how this world looks upon things when they think about, when they talk about health, wealth, and relationship. They'll tell you that you're blessed if you have. The Lord says it's more blessed to give than receive. That's that selflessness when you're giving of yourself, your value and esteem others more than yourself. With the health, we're told that God's not preferring us over other saints. He's not healing these saints over here, but leaving these saints to die and be sick. We see children's hospitals full of children that are in need of healing. But you'll have these so-called faith healers. They'll reserve their healings to a certain type of people. They'll say they're healing certain people of things that can go in remission or things that a person has a cane or something, they have a little gift knee, and they'll feel that they'll heal them from that, a little back problem, something that comes and goes. But they'll leave a person blind. Person that has special needs or things of that nature. They'll leave them in that state. That's because they can't heal. So again, they give you, this is just an example of how this world gives you its things, its exaltation and its sanctification, its justification. And they'll have you going after their ways. But that's not how your Father would have you to be taught and to be led by his Spirit. He would have you to be as a father to a son, whereas he can say, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. This is one that can take over the business. This is one that, as Paul goes out and establish men, to establish others, and they can carry that baton, and they can go out there, and it can be just as Paul would do it. And like Paul said about Timothy, he says, I have no man that's like-minded. And when you look at something like that, that's something. And let's come take a look at that. Let's come to Philippians. Come to Philippians, and let's look at chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Let's go to verse 14. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. And we'll close things up here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may also be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who would naturally care for your state, for all seek their own and not the things which are of Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Now, and you're looking at that, that sums this up perfectly. Because as he says at the beginning here in verse 15, that he said ye may be blameless. This is the intent. And these are mature saints here. These saints here are more mature than the Corinthian Galatian saints. These saints can rejoice with Paul in their suffering. These saints learned how to do that. They were still in the beginning stages of that. And as he says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Now, some do rebuke things. Some do act when they're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, like we are. They can rebuke being taught the way they ought to be taught. And when they see the suffering of this present time come, they want to get it out of the way. They don't. They feel that God's going to take this away from me, and I just get this away from me. I don't want to suffer for his sake. But right at the outset, you're told that. You're told that in Romans chapter 8 about the sufferings of his present time and being suffering with Christ. And verse 16, holding forth the word of life. That's the Spirit, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul says he can rejoice in that. And he says, verse 17, I joy and rejoice with you all. They're rejoicing too. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. And you got to remember what these people are going through. When you look in Philippians chapter 1, these people were getting locked up. They were getting locked up because of the gospel's sake. They were preaching Christ. They were being bold and preaching Christ, but they were going through sufferings. He says, I trust in the Lord to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. In other words, what state that they are in, that they're not wanting to throw in the towel, that they still want to cry out a father, that they still want to be taught as sons and daughters. He says, I have no man like-minded who would naturally state. And Paul's going to say about the father and son thing, he's saying that Timothy has become a son unto him, whereas Paul's saying, I don't even have to be there among you. I already know this man is like-minded. I know that he's going to naturally care for your state. And he's going to do it out of love. He's going to do it the way God would want him to. Verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. And see, that's the way this world does it. This world wants to seek their own. Their goal in giving you God's word is to benefit themselves, to build a bigger place, to gain more glory, to get more money. He says, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. And again, that's like father, like fun. That's the intent. That's the intent that from this, we all can understand how to be led by the Spirit. And us being, and our being sons and being led by the Spirit centers around our being educated by what the Father, like we see, he says later on in Romans chapter 8, about that we be conformed to the image of his Son. And that's part of being led by the Spirit. And this is what we need to come to understand about how we are to be led by the Spirit of God and how we can be sons that want to cry, Abba, Father. We have received the Spirit of adoption. And it's up to us to be ones who want to cry, Abba, Father. Ones that want to say, I want this. I want to be educated by you, regardless what this world has for me. I know I'm in the midst of a perverse, crooked nation, but I want to shine forth like a light, like we just seen earlier. I want to be a son and a daughter that is taught and educated in the proper way that God has designed that we be educated in. And that way is our being educated from that milk to meat, following this design here. And we need to read, we need to understand chapters, epistles like 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. We need to see how these saints acted, because we need to make sure we don't find ourselves being a Corinthian or a Galatian, going after this world or going after this world's doctrine. But we need to be ones that's educated the way God would have us to be educated in. And starting here, again, when you get to Romans chapter 8, verse 14, down to verse 39, you're going to be provoked by Satan. You're going to be provoked by Satan because at this time, you're going to see these verses that it's going to explain to you that you are going to be ones that are going to need to know God as ones that he's for us. You're going to want to be one that says we are more than conquerors. You're going to be ones who should be fully persuaded. Because these things that you're going to see down here in verses 30 through 39, they're going to be things that comes up in the life of all of us, but it can overtake us. It can overwhelm us. It can actually cause us to think that God is not for us. And we're going to take a look at these things. But at the outset, this is where the education starts here. And this is what we're going to pick up next week. So with that, I'm going to close. And I'm going to open things up for the Q&A. And we're going to look at these things. And we're going to make sure that we come to understand what it means to be a son of God. Star 6-1 will get you into the queue. Star 6-1 will get you into the queue. And again, if you have any questions or comments regarding anything that was just taught, we will be happy to answer the questions for you. We'll go to caller 3366. You're in the queue.
How you doing, Pastor Ron Jones?
Pretty good. How you doing there, my friend?
I'm great. Yourself. Miss you on last week.
Great.
Yes, but just a comment on the education of the Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the Galatians. They were carnal Christians, and they was uneducated. So that's why he couldn't produce the sonship to them, because they was carnal, and they was going after the mother gods and things. But the saints in Philippians and Romans was grown-up saints, was on the mirror. I mean, excuse me, was on the meat.
Right.
So right. Therefore, that's why they was, they just couldn't grasp that at that time because they was corner Christians. Is that
right.
correct?
That's correct. That's absolutely, absolutely correct. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, and that's why you're seeing, when you see Paul start off in 1 Corinthians, he says, only thing I wanted to know among you was Christ and him crucified. In other words, I came in with the justification. I just wanted to get you guys justified. I seen the state that you were in. You were going after these other gods and things of that nature. And you were going after glorying in men. They were saying, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, and things of that nature. There were divisions among them. And the Galatians weren't too far behind them. They were getting foolish and thought they were teachers themselves, getting corrupted in doctrine. So, yeah, God does not want us to be, and these are examples for us to understand that we cannot be like they are, like they were, because they were not straightened in their own bowels. They were going out, they wanted to reign as kings. But Paul, they didn't want to enlarge their hearts to empty their old loves and affectionate things out and replace it with the things of God. They weren't ready to do that.
Right. Okay. Okay. And we, as mature saints, and Philippians and Ephesians, is on the meat now. We can be as our sons and hate everything God hates and had the mind of Christ to do the things for God for help us to do. Like if you go back to Acts 9, when Paul fell off the horse and he was pricked in his heart, he said, God, what will have for us? I mean, Jesus, what would you have for me to do? And that's how we as mature saints should be today, you know, going back out doing what God will have for us to do. You know, go back doing our father business. That's being like an adult son.
Right. That's right. That's exactly right.
Okay. Right, right. Like being an adult son. Oh,
yeah.
All right. I just enjoy the teaching and sharing it with others. And it's not an emergency or nothing, but like before the week out, could you just text that information to the conference so I can write it down and give it to my writer and text that through my phone if you don't mind?
Sure,
address and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I'll text that information to you. Yeah, okay. I'll text that information to you, and hopefully I can text the whole flyer to you. I'm going to see if I can do that. If I can't, then I'll just write it out and text it to you.
Yeah, that mainly the address and everything. So the other thing is we're going to try to make it up there, hopefully.
great. I'd love to see you.
I like that. I appreciate your teaching and everything, and God, I keep you going on everything and your family and everything. I appreciate you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, and I do appreciate you and you listening in. I appreciate your comments because they are of some help to others who maybe I wasn't clear that they can, you know, I like the way you break it down, sum everything up.
Definitely.
Well,
thanks
again. All right, now. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Okay. And again, that's the way we've been. God wants to educate us. He wants us to be educated as a son. And next week, we're going to look at that being educated as that son and what that truly means and we're going to take a look at Jesus Christ himself. And how he was educated as a son, how he was awakened, how Isaiah talks about the Lord wakened him morning by morning. And before he even ate anything, he educated him. The same way with Adam, the way it was intended to be with Adam. God came to Adam in the cool of the day, meaning it was in the morning before they ate. But Satan got to them first. Long story, but I'll get to that next week. But what we're going to do is I'm going to close here.